We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, RotoViz radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host here on RotoViz Overtime. It is Sean Siegel. Sean, today's show is going to be a super fun one. It is Thursday. It is draft day. Preview for the listeners. We are recording this one a little bit earlier in the week, so anything could be subject to change. But we do think that pretty much the running back prospects are probably going to be day two picks. We'll be talking a little bit about them on today's show. But that is not the most exciting part of today's show, Sean. The most exciting part is that we're being joined by Dave Caban. Anyone that listens to RotoViz Radio will have heard Dave over the last number of years, and doing a phenomenal job at the moment with him and Curtis Patrick on the flagship podcast. So I guess it'll be rude for me not to go to the guest first, Sean. So Dave, how's things?
Hey, everything's going really well for me, getting super pumped about this draft upcoming. But more importantly, I am really pumped to be on RotoViz Overtime with you guys. I've been jealous of guests that have been able to come on before. I think this is hands down one of the absolute best fantasy football podcasts out there. So I am just super thrilled to be on and chatting with you guys.
Yeah, we do have a wall of fame. There's a couple of names up in it, but we are very exclusive with our guests. It's something that wasn't intentional at the start, but we've kind of gone that way since. But Sean, it's going to be a fun one getting Dave on here today. I think it's something that we've been wanting to do for a long time.
It is, and really we would prefer to record for 3 hours with Dave here, but we're going to keep it to the normal length for listeners. For Dave, he's got his job he's got to get back to. But before time runs out, we want to go over some of these running back prospects. We have Dave on the show as an expert in so many things. He does a lot of the fantastic tools for us on the site right now in all the metrics series articles that I do. I'm checking out his work in the Prospect Workout Explorer. You can go in and see what all the different prospects are doing in their athletic testing, how that compares to former prospects, how their top athletic comps have done at the NFL level. Really cool stuff there. He's also the mastermind behind our range of outcomes tools, where you can look at the individual players, you can look at their historical comps, what their range of outcomes are based on what their comps have done in seasons following the season that they comp to the player in. And so a really great tool for beating your opponents at picking players, right? Understanding the scenarios, understanding the risk, understanding the reward. Dave has put that together for us. We would love to talk about all of these things, but Dave, I wanted to jump in and start first with a couple of these really cool articles you've had on 2021 running back prospects. We know the draft is going on today. Harris, Etienne, guys who could go in the first round, possibility maybe of a dark horse first rounder. At the same time, there's a possibility that all of those guys will fall into the second round, especially if the Steelers don't make a pick there. And, you know, frankly, they do need a running back, but they also have other needs, you know, might be able to address that running back position later. But Dave, you've looked at these prospects from a variety of different angles, and one of the ones that always jumps out to me is your breakaway rush scores. I like guys who can run daylight, right? I like guys who can create a big play. One of my concerns is if you look at prospects who are not able to generate the big play against collegiate competition, that's a big red flag for me in terms of them being able to beat NFL defenders who we know are bigger, stronger, faster, shut down those angles so quickly. Go through why you think this metric is valuable, and then we'll look at a few of the individual players, maybe some guys who jumped up you were surprised about, and maybe some players with some small red flags.
Sure. So this is a topic that I had been considering in my mind for years before I actually had the data available to go back and look into it. But the thing that got me thinking about it was you would always read in scouting reports, or you'd hear, you know, the draft nicks on TV talking about, you know, this player is so explosive, or he's got that big play potential. But occasionally you would hear it mentioned about a player, and I would say, wait a second, like, if I go into the stats and I look at this, it makes me doubt that this player is always breaking off these, you know, runs of 50 plus yards at a clip. So what I did find when I went back, Sean, and looked at a relationship between a player's ability to break off long rushes, which we call breakaway rushes, rushes of 15 or more yards, but really focusing in on 15 plus, 20 plus, and 40 plus, for whatever reason, that seems to be the best combination that you can get at predicting fantasy points per game in a player's first three seasons. But yeah, that there's a strong relationship between those breakaway runs and potential at the next level. And what I found was it was not always clear that those players being labeled as explosive actually were when you looked at the amount of runs that they were breaking off. Now, you know, of course, there's probably some confounding variables like offensive line play, the team's overall scheme, but you do find that these players that can break off these big runs do tend to have a higher chance of finding NFL success. So to give some names, and I'm sure if anybody's paid attention to me or listened to me this year, you've heard me talk about Javian Hawkins, a running back who I think is one of the most exciting players in the whole draft coming out of Louisville. Unfortunately, he came in a little undersized this year, but he crushed things with a very strong historical breakaway rush score. Now, a player that you wrote about recently, Michael Carter, actually comes in second in the class. It's interesting in that Javonte Williams also comes in at fourth. So they both scored pretty strongly. And then I do feel compelled to point out that Travis Etienne scores pretty competitively in breakaway rush score as well, which really rounds out his tremendous profile. I think that a player that really stood out to me as one that I would have liked to have seen do a little bit more would have been a running back like Ramondre Stevenson, right? This big-bodied guy who you hope could be exciting, had a little bit different of a career trajectory than other backs, but he scored kind of towards the bottom. Now, I've been asked if there's a relationship between being a big back and having fewer breakaway rushes. It might look like that if you just go to my article and look at this class, but historically that hasn't happened because we also see Najee Harris actually ranking in at third worst in the class. As I've talked about, though, before, for me, this isn't as much of a red flag when I look at his overall profile. Because breakaway rush score is one of the most predictive metrics that we have, I do put a lot of emphasis on it, but it's not the only thing I'm going to look at.
When we're looking at these guys, Dave, there is an element of you want to have the breakaway rushes, but you also have to get the overall usage within your offense just to have a chance, right? So we're going to be kind of looking at guys who are both creating a lot of long runs, but also are just creating a lot of runs in general. I was wondering, one of the things that jumps out to me here for the guys in second, third, and fourth, Carter, Jefferson, Williams, none of those guys really blew the lid off of the athletic testing. And yet we have this other metric here suggesting that on the field, they have the athleticism to get it done.
Yes. And I think that that's one, so when you're trying to find relationships or ways to predict things, there's certain variables that you can't isolate because we don't have testing that directly correlates to them. And we don't have any type of stats necessarily that go and find those traits and hone in on them. So I think that with breakaway rush score, you're finding really, in essence, a player's playmaking ability. Now, as you mentioned, I do include elements of volume into the formula because there is a pretty solid relationship between generating volume. Some people might argue with that, but what I've seen is that being given the opportunity to have a lot of rushing attempts tends to be a good signal of that player's ability to produce at the next level. But then we're also capturing their playmaking. So it's what did they actually do with that big workload that can really propel them up the boards. So I think you make a really good point about Carter, Jefferson, and Williams. What I think this is telling us is that these guys do have certain skills that don't show up in the athletic measurables, but do tend to allow them to make these explosive plays on the field. So I think that's a really good point for you to mention.
Now, Colin, I'm wondering how concerned you are about Harris coming in this low. I have a not really a love-hate relationship. I just really like Harris. But in terms of where he's going to go in drafts and how valuable he's going to be, this optimism mixed with skepticism in that he's someone that I've owned a lot in Devy, and then I've watched him through the years, and the person who keeps coming to mind is Trent Richardson. Right? Someone who's big, someone who's athletic, and then someone who, once they get the ball, they're moving a lot, but not going forward, right? Now, Harris, we do have all of these highlights. We have the receptions. We have the touchdowns. We have the hurdles over the defensive backs, you know, sometimes even jumping over players who are standing upright. And you're like, well, you know, this guy has to be an absolute monster. His size, athleticism package, and some of these raw stats are crazy. And yet, at the same time, the number of long runs pretty low, and you have a lot of cuts where he ends up in the same place after the cut that he was in before the cut. Again, that raises a little bit of a red flag to me. Colin, when you're looking at this, what would be your question for Dave about what we should really make of this?
Yeah, there's a lot of cuts there, but in terms of, like, you know, the Trent Richardson thing, you know, I always and kind of it mightn't even feed into this, but when we talk about like vision for a running back, I think that's something that Trent Richardson, the more he was in the league, the more he tended to struggle with. And I find a lot of the time, if those cuts are going nowhere, a lot of the time it is that either the running back has gone to the wrong place in the original part of the scheme, or that he has actually gone to the right place but he's run himself into trouble. So the interesting thing about him is, as you mentioned, the, you know, total number of runs over 15, 20, 30 yards is very minimal, and in terms then of over 40 yards, there's none. Over 50 yards, there's none. So there's a lot of concerns in terms of the percentage of explosive plays that we did see from him, and he kind of fits into that bracket where the highlight plays are there, and sometimes with media coverage and things like that, the highlight plays can enhance people's opinions of how that player does look. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes in the actual draft, but he's in a kind of niche area at the moment where even in these upcoming rookie drafts, he's in a position where there's other options that I'm probably going to look towards. And I know, Sean, you've talked about him a number of times on the show, but I think it's going to be interesting in the landing spot, but I think there's just players that I like in that range around him that I think I'll be targeting more in my rookie drafts next week. But Dave, how does it for you, the red flags here in terms of the lack of explosive plays from that nature, how much were you surprised, I guess, when you went through the data, and then compared to some of these other guys? Is this the biggest of the red flags that you see in this running back class?
Oh boy, yeah, it's really tough because, and you made a great point about how players, they get a lot of coverage and you see the highlights over and over, it can really enhance your opinion. Because I was super surprised when I saw him score as weakly as he did, because I must have seen replays of Alabama in the college football playoff and Harris just running wild. I probably saw the same two or three plays like 75 times, and I was expecting that I was going to see a much higher number. So that was a big red flag. And I think that for many people, this might be one of the bigger red flags that they will see out of any of the backs, outside of perhaps, like I mentioned, a player like Javian Hawkins, who I was super high on, not coming in with what I think is the requisite size that he would need. So well, though, this may be one of the biggest red flags that I saw for me personally, it actually isn't hindering my opinion of him too much, because I do think that he's going to have a couple of things going for him. Draft position, which is super helpful. The fact that he can catch passes, which is going to allow him to stay on the field. And then thirdly, just that tremendous size that he has. I think that coaches are going to want to use that. They're going to expect that he can deliver in short yardage situations. I do think he looks like a player that can be used in all phases of the game. And I think that just the overall, I guess, cachet that he has is going to be enough to give him opportunity to prosper in the first couple of years. Would I have liked to have seen him put up ridiculous breakaway rush numbers like Jonathan Taylor or Saquon Barkley, another one of these backs that fits into that mold? Absolutely. But with it also being a down running back class, in my mind, it's really just him. And
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Travis Etienne at the top of the class. So perhaps if I was in or going through these exercises in a different year and you had some of the guys that came out last year, then I would be viewing these more critically.
It's interesting that you mentioned that too, in that with Etienne and Harris, they stayed an extra year in order to avoid those comparisons or to avoid being in a draft where they might get really pushed down because of some of those other prospects. That's a little bit of a red flag in another realm as well.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Dave, we also wanted to look at your second, one of many articles on this class, talking about some of the key metrics that will help you project these guys to the NFL. And you've been working a lot with regression trees. You've been working a lot with different types of characteristics that have tended to translate really well. And in another one of your articles, you talk about players who hit 6 yards per rushing attempt, 100 total yards per game, have a 50% market share, which actually takes out a couple of the most interesting prospects this year. You did actually have to share the backfield with someone else. and then a draft position in the top 100. You also mentioned, you know, getting in the vicinity of that one rushing touchdown per game. Some of the guys who really jump out at the top of this list historically that you've mentioned: Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, Nick Chubb. I mean, it's really a who's who of some of the very best running backs in the NFL at the top of that list. Give us a little bit of context for what we're looking at here, and maybe how you said it's a little bit of a weaker draft class. How does the 2021 running back class measure up?
Yeah, so I don't think that it measures up really that well at all. Now, one thing that I will point out, so in the article that you're talking about, I had been looking at regression trees, and I found, how should I say this? Like, sometimes you will hear people talking about specific traits or characteristics of running backs not mattering in certain traits or stats that you could look at being the only things that matter. But one of the things that we've been trying to do is find different relationships of these stats and the way that they interact and their interactions in a way that matter. So with that in mind, what I started doing was looking at different ways that you could combine the stats. So we had the one that you mentioned, where I kind of combined those four different metrics in a way that really mattered. Now, the interesting thing about that, Sean, was that in this class, we only had two guys that checked off all three of those boxes, and that was Travis Etienne and Jarrett Patterson. Everybody else was down at two or lower, and there definitely is a relationship in those four factors that you referenced. There's definitely a relationship between them and NFL success in that the more of those boxes that you check, the better your odds of NFL success. And then the other key factor that I discovered too was just that if you had six or more rushing yards per attempt, and you also had more than 100 total yards per game, this put you into this cohort with this absolutely smash hit rate. And again, in that group, we only see Jarrett Patterson and Travis Etienne. So to me, I mean, when you only have two of these guys that are profiling as these top level type of prospects, and even in that three box checking category, I would say that that doesn't necessarily mean a back has this tremendous hit rate and looks like a smash. So we just don't have a lot of meat on the bone in this class, is my opinion.
Yeah, it feels like it is a class that, you know, there'll be some of these guys obviously that are going to hit, but the athletic side of things may not be the exact reason why that does happen. Sean finished up just short of the all-time running back, and Jamal Charles is also on that list. So the names, they just are at the real top end. Anything in terms, Dave, I always like to ask this, but those late round guys, is there anyone that's really piquing your interest in checking off some of these boxes this season?
Yeah, well, you know, like a couple of backs that you could see in the later rounds, it's not like there's, you know, a couple of things that I could point to where saying if you have a player with these certain characteristics, you get X hit rate. But guys that I have found kind of interesting, Khalil Herbert out of Virginia Tech has better size than some of the backs in this class. You know, there is enough of a production profile for him to be interesting. I think, Sean, you and I both actually highlighted him in an article by Zachary Kruger that came out earlier or later last week, actually looking at late round best ball targets. So I've been kind of interested in him. Also, Elijah Mitchell, smaller back out of Louisiana, not LSU. Louisiana is also pretty interesting to me as well. But I would say that from a probabilistic standpoint, any of these backs going after Etienne and Harris, I just feel like there's such a slim chance of any of them actually materializing into something. Obviously, that could change after the draft comes out and maybe one of them lands in a terrific situation. But though there's some guys I can point to and maybe generate a little bit of enthusiasm, when I'm actually drafting, I'm probably going to be more or less staying away from these guys unless I'm in a startup and I'm in positions where there just aren't any backs that really look to me like they could give my team any upside moving forward. Then I would default with one of these rookies. But beyond that, I'm probably just going to be looking elsewhere.
Dave, you've mentioned both Hawkins and Patterson here. Those are two guys that Blair and I have been loading up on in rounds 27 and 28 of our early best ball leagues. And, you know, mentioned Zach's article. It was a cool article there. Gives our top round 26 to 28 targets, which you may think, well, 26 to 28, what does that matter? But if you're not prepared to make good selections there, then you'll waste those three picks. Make sure you check his article out. My concern is that now that we have a lot of Patterson and Hawkins, those guys came in even smaller and less athletic than I was hoping. I'm worried that those may end up being throwaway picks, that those guys may really fall to the very end of the reality draft. And another player that I have that concern about, who I have almost 100% ownership in, is Hubbard. You mentioned Hubbard and Jefferson as checking three of the boxes here. How concerned should I be about these two guys who our players, RotoViz, is higher on than the community, but as listeners are taking in this show late in the week, maybe doing it as they watch the NFL draft, are listeners going to be listening to this while Hubbard and Jefferson fall to round six, round seven?
I think that it's going to be hard for Hubbard to fall that far. Because I do think that teams in the actual draft are going to be intrigued by what they saw in the best season of his career. They know that the game speed is there. I think that, you know, everyone would have liked to have seen him test with a 40-yard dash that was coming in that really low 4.3 range. It didn't. But still, we've seen that the guy has tremendous speed. Athletically, he comps to guys like Melvin Gordon, Joe Mixon, Miles Sanders, Nosean Moreno, one of my favorite backs of all time, Kenyon Drake. There's things that you can point to in his profile and the college production that I think teams are going to be attracted to. So I actually still think that Hubbard's going to go fairly early in the draft, which will make his fantasy draft stock go, you know, maybe higher than it would, obviously, if we saw him fall later. But also, Sean, I think that from the standpoint of putting him on a lot of teams, Hubbard still feels to me like a guy that has a lot of upside. Because what if his peak level of production in college does manage to translate to the NFL? Then you could be looking at a guy that you manage to scoop up a little bit later than the other top backs in this class and has a lot of potential. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. But I think some of it goes back to the idea of, if you're taking chances with this group of players this year, you might as well do it with a guy that in his profile has shades of an elite back.
So Dave, a recent Triflex draft as well that you're doing, Monty Fan and Curtis Patrick competing with you here. In this one, me and Sean talked about Monty and the draft that he's doing with Sean this past Tuesday show. What's some of the insights that maybe you have found so far in those Triflex leagues, and maybe some of the difficult areas where you're fighting, maybe with ADP, which decisions to make to get that kind of ideal roster construction?
Yeah, well, you know, before I really share anything, I want to say that I am upset with Monty, because I traded a round 15 pick of mine with him for a third rounder in next year's class. He did not use that pick on Javian Hawkins, but before the clock got back around to me, he selected Javian Hawkins because he had the two picks before I was up, and I'm really upset about that. With that off of my chest, these leagues are really cool. And what I have found awesome about it is I love drafting wide receivers, right? And I was able to start this draft off with Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, and Terry McLaurin. So though you might think that these are RotoViz leagues, and keep in mind, we were in the first one, Curtis, Monty, and I. So we were setting the initial ADP, which was a really interesting thing. Despite it being kind of loaded for the wide receiver position, you still saw a lot of teams. The first six teams all went quarterback. We actually only had three picks in the first round that fell outside of the quarterback position. Curtis and I both went with wide receivers. There was another team that took Christian McCaffrey. Then in round two, you start to see more wide receivers getting infused into the mix, dispersed with running backs. Interestingly, we actually saw Kyle Pitts. This was really interesting, and I'm curious what you guys think about this. We saw him go in round three as the third tight end off of the board. So things have been really interesting. A lot of different builds across these teams. It's really hard to almost land on any blanket statements that you could say about how ADP looks like it's going to shape up and how teams will be structuring, because there's just been so much, there's been such a lack of uniformity, just a lot of teams approaching these different ways.
Dave, one of the things that jumps out here is that with your four wide receiver start and this being a best ball format, I think that the wide receivers can be even more valuable in that one of the takeaways that we get from the roster construction explorers, which obviously are focusing on a single season best ball, is that the early wide receivers give you more firepower and give you a higher win rate than you might expect. A lot of people approach best ball the opposite way, thinking you can load up on wide receivers late and that the optimized lineups will then pull in a ton of points at the wide receiver position, when really that doesn't happen. Those wide receivers are all mostly scoring below the level that you need, and so you end up losing.
Yep.
You started here with a lot of wide receivers. I like that for this format where up to five wide receivers could be in. If you have a non-quarterback in the Superflex, you can have six wide receivers going. Fill us in a little bit on how you then pursued the later rounds, specifically maybe how you addressed quarterback when you didn't go QB early.
Sure. So, and to your point, I think that, you know, a very strong way to build the team is by loading up with the wide receivers, because I was still able to get, and this is a league where I would be interested in playing two quarterbacks, I was able to get on my team Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins as my quarterbacks. So I did that in round 6 and 7, which I think was pretty solid. And I also would point out too that I actually got Kareem Hunt and Aaron Jones as my running backs, and then backfilled later my receivers with guys like Will Fuller and Curtis Samuel. So why I'm feeling so good about this is because now when my receivers contribute to my team, these are going to be absolute top level numbers. Whereas if I had gone with quarterbacks earlier, I think the delta between those quarterbacks and the two that I have wouldn't have been as large as it's going to be between the receivers that I have and those that I would have had later. And we know that there's just not as many running backs that can contribute these massive weeks to your team. Yes, their weeks might be more massive than the wide receivers, but there's such a concentrated group of those players that I now have a team that I feel really good about bringing forward with those two quarterbacks, with my handful of running backs that very honestly probably have a low shelf life, but I'm so set at wide receiver that I feel good. I also got Jonnu Smith and Jared Cook at my tight end positions.
I love the line you used there about running backs with a low shelf life. I think you're going to have to trademark that. I haven't heard that come up too often. I think it's a good an interesting way to talk about veteran running backs or guys who mightn't be around all that long. I mentioned on Tuesday's show that I haven't jumped in and done a draft yet. Sean teased that we may have to do an official one here for the podcast. I've obviously been reading between the lines, getting the information from Sean on the strategy. Anything for any of our listeners or myself that you think heading into that first triflex that with a few of them under your belt now was the kind of thing that you learned maybe from the first one to the current point that you wish you knew on that first draft?
Sure. I would say to anybody that's going to be entering these leagues that you definitely have a point probably in the third or fourth round where you can think about making trades for trying to find the teams that are going to want the quarterback and make trades with them. Also, especially when you get to that point where there's a break kind of in the quarterback tiers and Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins are looking like the only players that have some youth and are kind of in the second tier of quarterbacks, definitely explore trade options with every team in your league, because I can guarantee you that there's going to be some players that might give you two picks in the rounds after that just to have the chance to get Tannehill or Cousins. So I would pay attention to that. And I think, you know, it's probably a general piece of advice for any of these startup leagues, but really be exploring all of your potential trade options and trying to make a move. I was unsuccessful earlier on, and I think that's because I wasn't being aggressive enough or making myself feel uncomfortable. I was trying to kind of have my cake and eat it too much. So I would say get in these drafts, recognize that teams are really going to be coveting the quarterback position, identify who those teams might be and try to see what you can get out of them. Because even if I didn't get Kirk Cousins in this draft, for example, I still think I could have gotten Matt Ryan and another quarterback that would have allowed me to be perfectly okay heading into the first season of the league.
Awesome, awesome stuff. Of course, make sure you're following Dave on Twitter at DaveCabinFF. Dave is one of my favorite guys to talk to in the entire fantasy football industry. Back before our daughter Caitlin was born, she just turned 3 in the last couple of weeks, actually. Dave came on a podcast series I was doing called Learning to Dad and gave me the kind of the knowledge drop as to what to expect over those opening months of fatherhood. So I always appreciate Dave for that. Of course, I have mentioned the competition. Make sure you're dropping us that written and review on your favorite podcast app. If you've been thinking about it for a while and you have been holding off for whatever reason, now's the perfect time. You can help win yourself some RotoViz subscriptions. We are giving away 2 by 1 month subscriptions and 1 3 month subscription. That 3 month subscription winner will also be getting an upcoming appearance on RotoViz Overtime to ask Sean and myself questions. So don't miss out. Get involved today. Drop that 5-star review. Some that have been dropped over the last week or so. Just going to read through them now. HawksFan1 drops one and says, great content and education. Sean and Colm do a great job explaining the numbers side of fantasy while educating their audience and holding their attention. I love the new startup series highlighting Sean and Sam's recent articles on the website. Love the podcast so much. I become a RotoViz subscriber. So much, much appreciated there from HawksFan. Thank you for that great review. And then the next one up is a must listen, Actionable Insights. Every week, the podcast brings thoughtful insights that are actionable and backed by excellent data. From best ball to dynasty to season long, Sean and Colm are some of the sharpest minds. They introduce subtle nuances that optimize strategy, approaching your draft, team management, and trades. Love the podcast and congrats on the 200th episode. Thank you very much for that one as well. As always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass. All you have to do is at checkout, drop the code RVRadio2021 or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for additional information. It is draft day. Hopefully your team drafts the players that you want to see drafted, and hopefully some of these guys we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks get some ideal landing spots for their fantasy seasons and fantasy futures heading into 2021 here. It's going to be fun over the next couple of weeks to break down the landing spots. Enjoy the draft this weekend. Always one of the more fun times of the season. And of course, that is going to do us for today's edition of RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host, as always, is Sean Siegel. Follow all of Sean's great work up on rotoviz.com. Until we're back with another 2 episodes next week, of course, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.